It's a busy time in UK politics at the moment, with all the major parties holding their annual conferences. The Tory party begins this Sunday. The Labour party wrapped theirs up last Wednesday, where Jeremy Corbyn was re-elected with an even greater majority of votes. Not all are happy, though, with political commentators lamenting a Corbyn-led party. And of course, we had our own Peter Baldwin saying that last week on the show very vividly. But above all, they say it means no real opposition for the Tories. Some wits have hailed Britain, the world's oldest democracy, to be in reality a one-party state at the moment, and probably for years to come. As well, there's the small issue of how the UK will extract itself from the EU. Where can PM Theresa May contain the hard Brexiteers within her party? Can the centre hold? That classic re-emerging worry. The Lib Dems, the Liberal Democrats, also held their conference last week. One of its ex-leaders, Lord Paddy Ashdown, was present, evangelising in private, certainly, about his big, bold new idea, a new political movement called MoreUnited.uk, which he's recently launched. To find out why, and for a reading on Britain's turbulent political landscape from an old veteran, I'm delighted to welcome him now to Saturday Extra.
Nice to be with you.
Why now this new political movement, please?
You know, there was a wonderful introduction, that, and if I may say so, a very accurate one. But the fundamental point about the lying under British politics is that everything is in turmoil. I mean, everything is in turmoil. All of the major parties and some of the minor ones have now elected new leaders or are in the process of doing so. All of them are divided, not least, forgive me, the Tory party, which beneath the calm surface that appears with a new Prime Minister, Theresa May, is a boiling cauldron of dissent, which I think will break out during the forthcoming Tory conference, as those who are the sort of swivel-eyed Brexiteers, I call them the Brexiteer brown shirts of the Tory party, they weren't abused.
I know you do. You're very provocative, openly provocative.
Well, it's a good metaphor, because they want Brexit dot and comma. They want Britain to be a little sort of raft, an island that floats out in the middle of the Atlantic like Hong Kong, nothing to do with Europe. And then there's the majority of the Tories who want to have a more sensible solution. So all of the parties are divided, save only for the Liberal Democrats, but we are very, very small now. Mm. Someone described us rather rudely as roadkill after the recent election. 8 MPs, we're now growing and growing fast, but from a very low base. How far can that get in the term? You might get an election, in my view, before the spring. So everything is in turmoil. Nobody knows how the pieces are going to come down. What I think is very, very evident indeed is that the old, easy, shorthand division, much loved of the press, of left and right in Britain is now shattered. Actually, there are much more fragmented forces than that. The right is moving to the extremes. The left, as you see, is moving to the extreme. And the centre is a bit fractured and broken and sort of dismembered.
Lost confidence, I would say, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think, you know, the natural position of the United States of America is right or centre-right. The natural position of Britain is the centre-left. And if you can get that centre-left together, those people who believe in the values for which I think Britain is famous, tolerance, the habit of compromise, respect for others, I think the majority is still there. They haven't got a political party to represent them powerfully enough. And therefore, we have created this people's movement, which will serve the rearrangement and the re-establishment of a proper centre-left political force. Now, let me entertain you with a little thought. Mm. I think political parties are founded originally on people's movements. The Liberals got founded on the Great Reform Act of 1832, the Labour Party on the trades union, etc. But they've now become narrow political sects that sort of celebrate their purity and tribalism at the seaside once a year. I think they've become separated from their people's movements. But people's movements aren't going to tolerate that. So if they haven't got a political party to represent them, they'll take one over. Think of Republicans and Trump. Think of the Trotskyists and the hard left who've taken over Labour. Think of UKIP, which has been formed around the people's movement, or Marine Le Pen, if you like, in France. So the centre-left needs to find its political movement back again, and this is a means by which to do that. And until it's done it, the genuine centre of gravity of Britain political opinion, which is centre-left, isn't going to be properly represented.
Look, so many thoughts arising from what you say, because as you know, there have been people really commenting on what you've done and said, well, is he right that there is still a centre-left sort of orientation or sensibility? And as others have said, the word the strange death of liberal England in the first half of the 20th century, might it not be that there's been a strange, unaccounted for death of this liberal England that you're describing now?
Well, it might be, and that's one of the sort of puzzling conundrums of our time. My gut feeling is not, for reasons I'll give you in a moment, but what is true and what has shocked us and has shocked me. I mean, I know that in any society there are lurking some ugly features, you know, racists, ultra-nationalists, etc. But I've always felt confident that in my country they would remain a tiny minority and largely out of sight. Brexit seems to have given them permission to appear again in polite company, and it is horrible, horrible, and deeply damaging, and deeply shocking to me to see the rise of race hatred, the rise of hate crimes in Britain, and to speak to people of ethnic minorities who tell you that, the whole sort of public discourse has shifted in ways that make them feel very uncomfortable. Now, my view is that we have to fight this. You know, you can't give in to it. If you do or even bend towards it, it merely causes it to grow. Look what happened in France. I think you can assemble a majority. Why is it that every people's movement has to be for something worse, something more ugly, something that looks like Trump or Farage? Can we not do it for something better? So I thought, we'll give this a try. And I launched this just after 22nd of July. It's been going 6-7 weeks now. 40,000 people have signed up.
And what have you asked of them?
Well, at this stage, we said, is there an interest? Do you want to do this? And there's clear interest that there is. So now we're going to form an organization. We require people to pay some money, but they can choose how much, from one penny through to £1,000 if they want to. Mm-hmm. We'll form a political organization. It is specifically for, and looking at the membership, those who signed up in 5 weeks. By the way, that's half the size of the Lib Dems. It's a third the size of the Tories in 5 weeks. So there's a clear appetite.
And this is all online, is it?
It's online. It's an online movement, and we will then raise money through crowdfunding, shifting this funding of British politics, I hope, away from big money that disfigures it and drags it off to the extremes, back to its original, which is lots and lots of small money. And I think it's a revolutionary idea. I think that what people who are signing up to this are actually the people who are frightened as I am.
Is it the silent majority, you think, do you?
Well, it's a sort of homeless majority. It's a voiceless majority. They're silent at all. They're furious. They're angry. But they don't want to make their political contribution through a political party because they don't trust them any longer. They see that they're narrow and tribal. And so they want to have an instrument to make a political difference, which is not necessarily doing it through a political party.
And I notice you've got a lot of conveners, including Simon Sharma, the historian, Martha Lane Fox, the entrepreneur, Dan Snow, the broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Now, are they sort of almost your ambassadors? They're not going to stand for Parliament, are they?
No, they're not. And we're not a political party. We are specifically not a political party. We're there to support and help and grow the progressive centre-left. We will support with money and resources any person standing to support the five principles for which we stand, whatever party they come from.
And just tell us again what they are, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, they are a market-based economy, but one which tackles the gap between the rich and the poor, taking environmentalism seriously and making sure that we can begin to tackle this existential crisis challenge that we face, celebrating our multiculturalism, recognizing that immigration increases our value, not diminishes it, which is an internationalist party that believes in Europe and wider global international systems, and which is prepared to have good public services paid for at the point of delivery and from taxation. So those are the 5 points, and we've had a mass of people supporting those.
It's very interesting, some of the writing. Recently, Matthew Goodwin, who's from, I think, at the University of Kent, a political scientist, he says Brexit is the trailer that actually there's a new fault line opening up in politics that this is a values divide. On the one side, cosmopolitanism, open to globalisation. On the other, more authoritarian, conservative, frightened people. So I wonder how much you see yourself as trying to persuade this other group, if you agree with that analysis, across to your side, or are you going to sort of preach to the chorus?
No, you have to persuade them because you have to move opinion. How else can you get yourself successful in politics? So you have to persuade them. No, I don't think we're going to sort of retreat into our little tribe and talk about our purity. The idea is to try and to change the public discourse in Britain. By the way, that article's a very interesting one, and I agree with it. I think there's a more fundamental divide between isolationists and internationalists, and I'm an internationalist. I think there's a more divide between those who understand that globalism is coming and recognize the challenges, what you do with it, how do you make a fair and decent and successful society, and those who are sort of stop the world, I want to get off parties, hiding under the stairs with a blanket over their head saying, I wish it would go away, of which, by the way, Mr. Corbyn's party is one, Mr. Farage's party is another. Let me make a more worrying, a more nightmare-ridden scenario for you. I write books. I've just produced my...
I'm about to ask you about
ninth, and I'm working on my 10th, and the 10th is going to be about the opposition to Hitler, immensely brave, morally giants of Germans who we forget about. And I'm looking, therefore, very closely at the 1930s. Let's leave aside the fact that the 1930s had a madman armed to the teeth who was dying for a war. We haven't got that. Well, who knows what will happen if you get Trump. But leave that to one side. Almost everything else about our current age reminds me of the 1930s. Fracture, disrespect for the instruments of government, hate of the establishment, following those with the most raucous and powerful voices, how even if they say things which ought to frighten any civilized person. This reminds me terribly of the 1930s, and we are fighting, it seems to me, for the assertion of cohesion about decent values against the assertion of disintegration.
Gosh, I heard Nigel Farage talk about decent values when I was there when Brexit occurred.
Well, I think anybody who thinks that Nigel Farage's values are the values upon which a civilised society can be based in the long term, I think is living in cloud cuckoo land.
See, it's interesting because if we look at Labour Party, their membership numbers, and I heard Bea Campbell talking to my colleague Philip Adams about this the other day, it's just staggering, you know, under his leadership an extra 400,000. But you see, he, Paddy, thinks that he's now running a movement, it seems to me, rather than a party.
But you see, you make the point I was making. If political parties don't represent a majority, the people's movement will take over the political party. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, we've all known that there are, let me see, I ought to be a bit careful about my language here, I suppose, but we've all known that there are hundreds of thousands of very hard left people, some of them very decent, naive, but very, very decent, lying around with no home to go to in Britain. The moment Mr. Corbyn pops up, like iron filings to the magnet, they gather around him. And so they've taken over the Labour Party. And, you know, now we have a Labour Party that is avowedly and unashamedly socialist, a word which has not been allowed to be used in Labour circles for ages. Fine. I think that's a good thing, by the way, because I think it very much clarifies the position. They are not part of the centre. They are part of the socialist left. Fine. That's very clear now. So it highlights the issue, A, of the people's movement, and B, where do those lost souls, many of the very good Labour MPs, who absolutely are not, they're modern progressives, they're not the returning to an old socialism, where do they go at the moment? These guys remind me a bit of sort of the prisoners in the opera Fidelio, who emerge from the dungeon singing the prisoner's chorus into sunlight to discover that they're still in the bloody prison. and they don't know where to go to, so let's see if we can give them a home.
I hope that you were as much of a fan as I was of Borgen, that fabulous Danish series about the first woman Prime Minister there.
Absolutely.
And one of the things Birgitte Nyborg, of course, had when she set up a new party, she said, I cannot be all things to all people. I have to be very careful. And she really made sure that she didn't promise everything. I just wonder how far you can go with your plans like this, which are sort of inviting people to feel good about old values, when in fact a lot of people have been disenfranchised by those same sort of attachments to capitalism.
But I have to disagree with you. They're not the old values. They're the new values brought about by the internet. That's why we're an internet-based movement. They're the new values of, you know, understanding the impact of globalism and recognizing that the task is to turn it, not to hide from it. But
so you won't have control, will you? You think of their great line. Well, I didn't think it was great, but bring back control. That was the great Farage line and the Brexiteers line.
I think there is control over immigration, and it's called the market. The market needs people to feed it. The real truth in Britain, I suspect it's true in Australia, but less so. You're a much younger society. Britain is an aging society. We've got too many people now out of the age bracket. If you want to have the taxes and have the work that funds the money that will provide the services for the elderly, you've got to have immigration. Now, that's the fact no one will say. We will. But here's the point. What is the point of politics if it isn't standing up and saying what you believe in? And I think there's a desperate thirst for that. It's one of the reasons why, by the way, I think that Mr. Corbyn has got so many people joining him. And I may say that his politics, his ideas are ones I don't agree with, but there's no doubt about his sincerity, and people have gathered to him for that purpose.
Like
so
Bernie Sanders.
Yes, exactly. I have a suspicion that the thing that is making people fed up with politics is that they've tried to be all things to all people. The modern politician is smooth, everything is perfectly in place, no sentence is out of place, you know, and something rougher, something more authentic is what people are calling for. Mind you, you don't need more rough politics than you get in ours, do you?
No, thank you. No. We'll just quietly. We've at least got a Prime Minister in place who I think is... Well, how long? He's only been there 14 months, though. Look, thank you very much. We will watch with a great deal of interest.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on the programme.
Lord Paddy Ashdown, former leader of the Lib Dems and founder of this new political online movement called moreunited.uk. You might like to seek it out. And I might add, the New Statesman in its latest edition has a very interesting column from David Miliband, not Ed Miliband, the brother whom they rejected, who describes the current Labour Party as the pre-New Labour Party, New Labour, in policy and culture. It's very interesting, actually. A lot of soul-searching underway within the Labour Party in the UK. And I should note as well that Paddy Ashdown's latest novel is called Game of Spies, The Secret Agent, The Traitor and the Nazi, set in occupied France during the early 1940s as a result of a sheaf of apparently amazing documents sent to him by a reader.